Okay, well, hi. We Carolyn and I last week were in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, of course, and we were there over Memorial Day, so it was really a special time for us, and we're it gives you goosebumps when you think about the goodness of God to our nation. Talking about being thankful, Carolyn and I are really thankful for the kindness of Steve and Terry. Our electricity is still only hopeful. But I've lived in the dark a lot of my life. This will remind me of it. But God is so good, and they were very kind to us, and we thank you very much for our class just loves each other, right? You will know that we are Christians by our love, We love him because he first loved us, right? Now, where we are together, it's sort of a special day. We're finishing the book of Daniel with the conclusion, and it's sort of a fun conclusion. And then we'll take questions over the book or whatever is in your mind. So we'll wrap this up. Next Sunday, I've decided to start a study. It's very hard to do this, but because it's so disjointed. But the book of the Proverbs, wisdom literature, it is called. And so that's what I'm working on now. So we won't march through the book because it's not a book you can march through. It's sayings, it's proverbs, it's insight into living this life. So we'll start that and see what happens. Now, so where we are now is obviously the book of the Daniel at the end. We've already said several things. I'll review it before we take questions. So if you have our notes, turn to not notes, but Bible, really, chapter 12. There's a reoccurring phrase in the end of this chapter that we only have verse 14 through 13, or 4 through 13. In chapter, if I can find it, in chapter verse 13 at the end, but as for you, Daniel, go your way. Okay, enough's enough. Ha ha. And that's repeated. One other time in our text. I'll find it when my eyes can see it. So, so what we're doing is this. Daniel is at the end. I think the thing that troubled Daniel when you sit and just meditate on what is there and what is missing. What's missing helps you to understand what's there. It shapes it. That Daniel lived in the time when the exile was coming to a conclusion. The Medo-Persian Empire had conquered the Babylonians, and Cyrus the Great came along in 536 and changed the political policy toward refugees, exiles. He sends them back and to their native land. And so Daniel, in exile, this brilliant young man, now probably in his 80s, thought that if you return back to the land, then the Messiah will come, the kingdom of God will come. And I think what the book of Daniel is telling Daniel is the kingdom of God is going to come. The king is going to come. But your hopeful chronology is wrong. There's going to be a time gap, but it's all going to come true. Okay? So in chapter, well, we'll do that. And now at the end, beginning in verse 4, the Lord instructs Daniel. He tells him a few things. Twice he says, go your way. Enough's enough. But it's beautiful. Verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words. What words? chapter 7 through 12, 3. The visions, the insight. Conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of times. So far, so good. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Well, it certainly has. And we could labor on that one. Then, this little section has two questions. One by an angel talking to another angel. And then Daniel asked one of the angels, who are the angels? I would take it that because the word linen occurs in describing the angel that occurs in chapter 10, verse 5, that the angel is Gabriel. And he's probably talking to the other angel in the book, which is Michael, the protector of the people of God. So here's the angel's question. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river, and the other on the bank of the other bank of the river. What's the river? Beats me. Probably Tigris, because that's where the capital was. Now, one said to the man dressed in linen, probably Michael said to linen, to Gabriel, he just the angels don't know, who is above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? When will time come to a conclusion? Okay. So we the instruction to Daniel is go your way, seal the book. I've told you all I want you to know. Trust me. Okay. Then this gets fun. How long will it be until the end of wonders? Here's the answer, verse 7. I heard the man dressed in linen, Gabriel, probably, who was above the waters of the river, raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that the angels are servants of God. And the angel, in response to that question, appeals to heaven. Okay, so it's really, really pretty. And swore to him who lives forever that it would be for time, times, so that's three, and half time. As soon as they finish the scattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. What is time, time, and half a time? We found that in chapter 9 at verse 27. In that little chapter, verse 24 to 27, you have 70 weeks. You have 6 weeks. Then you have 60, no, you have 7 weeks. Then you have 62 weeks, and then a gap at the end of time of 1 week. In the middle of that 1 week, you have what is called the catastrophe, the destruction, the abomination of desolation. So far, so good. So, when you see the abomination of desolation, what is that? I think the answer to that is the Antichrist, the man of sin. So far, so good. The great last tyrant that will come upon the earth. So it's fun. It would be for a time, time, and half a time. And as soon as they finish gathering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. So in Daniel chapter 2, you had a statue of various metals, Babylon being gold, Medo-Persia being silver, the Greeks being bronze, and the last great kingdom, Rome. And it is still lasting. Okay? But when Rome becomes 10 toes and a the little horn rises to great power among the horns in that text. A stone cut from heaven will destroy the geopolitical systems of the world. So far, so good. It's beautiful, I think, unless you're on the other side. So far, so good. So, when is this going to happen? When is the end of time coming? The angel asked the other angel. The answer is after 3.5 years that follows the abomination of desolation of Daniel 9, okay, in the last 7 years. Now, so here's the second question, verse 8. It's Daniel's question. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So if you don't understand, you're joining a good crowd. Prophecy is retrospective. You will know what it means after it has occurred. Okay? And I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to say to the Lord, oh, gracious, that's what that means. I hope the friends I disagreed with aren't here. We may disagree on details. We do not disagree on the picture. And the picture is that the end of time will not end with some tyrant claiming the world. It will end in judgment with the coming of the great king, and he will gather his people to be with him forever. The garden that contained two that failed him will now become myriads and myriads who will worship him forever. That's the story of the Bible. That's it in a nutshell. Now, as for me, poor Daniel, he just thinks the king, he just thinks the kingdom is going to come tomorrow. Right? He can't figure it out because the stars seem to be lining up so far. And my theory is this: there are many shadows in the Holy Scriptures that anticipate the reality. And you can't tell whether it is another successive shadow or the real thing. But after the real thing, you will know. That's what it is, right? Now, he said, verse 9, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed. You won't know. So anybody who does know might be smoking something. Now, we can know generally. We can know that our Lord can come at any time. We know that he doesn't have to come at any time, but he can. And when he comes, he will gather his people to himself. Daniel thought it was going to come in 536 BC, right? From the data he had. So he said, verse 9, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end of time. Okay. So I do not think that our hope is in the events. I think our hope is in the person that will bring those events around. It's a person. I worked on construction in college, and I realized that the guys I worked with seemed to know Jesus because they talked about him, but they talked about him in strange ways that I was not accustomed to. And I got thinking, you know, someday they're not going to do that anymore. So the coming of the Lord is about the vindication of his character and promises. It's not about what we'll escape, because whatever we might escape will be temporary. So far, so good. Now, so go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed, sealed up to the end of time. Suck it up, Daniel. Then he describes it. What's it going to be like then when he comes? Then many will be purged, right? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Isn't that pretty? Many will be purged, purified, refined. The resurrection, right? Woody spirit is in heaven on the Lord's day. What a great day to arrive. His body awaits a new one, where he will live as a human being in the presence of God forever, purged, clean. But the wicked face a dire thing. Will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. So far, so good. From the time, now, verse 11 is interesting. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, what is that? And the abomination of desolation is set up. Where do we have those phrases in Daniel? We have them in Daniel 10 and 11. In shadowed form. What's the shadowed form? When the Syrian Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, the great one, that's what his name means, tried to conquer Egypt. He ran right into the Romans, the rising empire of the world. Realizing his days may be doomed, he retreated, but tried to Hellenize what we call today Israel, make it a buffer state, militarize it. And what he did is that he went into the temple of God and erected the altar to Zeus. He killed hundreds of priests. And he slew a pig on the altar of God, just heinous guy. That's a shadow of the coming one who is most beastly. Remember, the Roman Empire is always described as beyond description. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, it was abolished in shadowed form. In 164, it was cleansed 3.5 years later. How do you figure that one? By Judas Maccabeus. And we have Hanukkah, Feast of Lights. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. What is that? That's time, timed, times, and half time. 3.5 years. So the reign of Antichrist, man of sin, in the fulfillment of all the shadows of the past, will replicate those shadows. But his time will be 3.5 years. And then the stone cut from heaven is going to crush the beast. So far, so good. It's beautiful. If you dream, you've got to be a dreamer. How blessed is he? Here's our message. Who keeps waiting? That's what we're doing. We're not passive. We're not sitting on our hands. We have a task to do, but we're waiting. And we, as the Jewish people say, when I leave Jerusalem, maybe next year, Messiah will come. We say the same thing. We may mean different things. How blessed is he who keeps waiting? That's us. Woody is not waiting and attains 1,335 days. What does that mean? Beats me. I'm a little short on that one. Is there a time gap between the crushing and the judgment? But God is timeless. It does it in no time at all. So it beats me. Now, here's the conclusion. This is beautiful. But as for you, Daniel, for me, for us, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest. Isn't that pretty? Whatever our end is, we'll enter rest and rise again in the great resurrection. I always say this, why can't we just go to heaven, body and spirit? Get this thing over with. We can't, because you and I have a body that is incapable, because of Adam's first sin, of dwelling in the presence of God. So our spirit that has been redeemed enters the presence of God upon physical termination. Our bodies go to the grave. I think it's a great illustration for the unsaved that life is not permanent, that they see. But in the resurrection, we will be given a new body, joined in the presence of God, and we will be able to inhabit the absolute holiness of a world we don't know. Right now, we're incapable. Does that make sense? I just love verse 13. But as for you, go your way. Suck it up. Go your way. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion. What's your allotted portion? The crown of eternal life. Right? At the end of the age. So far, so good. It's beautiful. What do I carry away from this book? There are many shadows in the Holy Scriptures that point to a consummation. I often think this, that the darkness in our house today is a reminder of a darkness that someday will go away forever. It's a shadow, right? Someday the lights will come on, never to be extinguished. And when they do come on, I'm going to say to Carolyn, honey, this is a picture of heaven, hubba hubba. So far, so good. So don't be a wild eschatologist. It's all right to say it's true, but I don't think we have warrant to say this is it. So far, so good. Until after the it becomes an is, and we're in. Where's our confidence? It's not in figuring out history. Our confidence is in a person who has made to you and to me promises. Promises are only as good as character, power, and authority to execute. But he possesses it all. So far, so good. So our blessed hope is a person. So far, so good. It'll have wonderful attendances to it. Now, before I take questions, at the end, I wrote a summary of the book. And it's very simple and very straightforward. By chapters, we know this. The message of chapter 1 to 6 is that God will preserve his people. Okay. We have in one, three young men who seem to shine with knowledge and are elevated, the four exiles, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Chapter two, we have a dream that a stone is going to come and crush the empires of the world. Chapter three, we have the preservation of guys, three guys in a furnace. But when you look in the furnace, there's a fourth person. So when God carries us through the fire, he comes with us, right? There's a story told, a man was pondering. He said, "When I walk on the seashore with the Lord, I see his footprints and I see mine. We're side by side." But he said, "In the troublesome times of my life, why do I only see one set of footprints? Does God abandon me?" And then it hit him. No, when troublesome time comes, he takes us in his arms and walks us through. That's why there's only one set. That's pretty to me. He carries us. In chapter four, God humbles to insanity the great monarch. In chapter five, Belshazzar's handwriting on the wall. Many, many tekel upharsin. You have been weighed in the balances of justice and found wanting. And in the last chapter six, Daniel has a wonderful night with lions. Now, chapter 7 through 12 tells us how it will be restored. The exile will come to an end. So the exile of the ancient people of God is a shadow of our exile. As Abraham was a wandering Aramean, the text says, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have not progressed beyond Genesis 12. So far, so good. It's beautiful. We might know a little more, but that's all. So in chapter 7, you have four animals, but they are the same as the four metal statue with their animals now. Four kingdoms are going to come and go. In chapter 8, you have a vision of the second and third. He's telling Daniel that the kingdom is going to come, but it's going to be a while. In chapter 9, you have the 70 weeks. He tells us about the end of the fourth kingdom, end of time. And in chapter 10 to 12, early 12, he camps on the Maccabean revolt and the end of time. He's telling him it's coming, but it's way down the road. So far, so good. I think it's just beautiful. Just beautiful. I don't take confidence in my knowledge of the details. I take confidence in the integrity of a person who does not lie and who is absolutely incomprehensible, except that he has revealed himself partially. So the great question is, with the limited knowledge we have, which is wonderful, is he still worth trusting? My answer is, look at Calvary. Look at his gift. Look at the proof that his gift was accomplished, the resurrection. And the answer is yes. So far, so good. Beautiful to me. Now, questions as we finish Daniel, or any rumblings you might have in your mind, which is partially dangerous. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Okay, we get it.
I assume I can go back to chapter 7.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a question. How do the Jews interpret the end of, well, let's see, 7 chapter, verse 13? It's talking about the Ancient of Days, and he has someone else come to him. who approached the Ancient of Days, and this other person was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and many every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
As Christians, we look at that as God is, you know, sharing his authority, his dominion, his rule with Christ. But how do the Jews interpret that?
They would do it the same way, but they'd have different content. The Ancient of Days is the promised Messiah who will come someday. So that, and the authority that this one who will come someday, this Messiah, has the authority of God. Now, so it really boils down to this. Did Messiah come? Or are we still looking for him? One reason that we would think he didn't come is things didn't turn out the way we thought they should. They killed him. But they're looking at it as a geopolitical comfort. We believe there's a deeper comfort than mere external comfort, and that's the soul. And that's the deeper thing. Because God wants us to dwell with him. Right? He's given us many happy days, but they're all just shadows. Does that make sense? So, I was walking in a cemetery in Worms, a Jewish cemetery, the only few that were not desecrated by the Nazis. I met a young lady, and I asked her what she and her father were doing. They were praying. And I said, what were you praying about? And she said, boy, I thought, this is great. She said, we were praying that Messiah would come. I said to her, what if I told you Messiah has come? And she looked at me and said, you're a Christian. So that's the issue. We believe he has come. And he's coming again because he didn't fulfill all the content of his promises in his first coming. He came to gather so that we could be with him. And when he comes again, we will be with him. So far, so good. They're looking for a human like Judas Maccabeus, like David and maybe Solomon in his better days, right? But they're just symbols. That's all.
Dr. Hannah?
Yes.
Okay. In Romans, it talks about, Paul talks about the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. Yeah. So the Jews are in state of blindness.
Right.
I would say right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's until the Gentiles, those that are his, when that time is over, I guess then he deals with that.
I think that time will be Daniel's 70th week.
That leads me to my thought on your thought on number two. I think it's very informative. You say, while we have been instructed to be people of hope and certainty in our futures, we must be careful not to give the impression that we are living in the last days.
Yeah, we are living. The last days began in the exile when Gentile dominance dominated the world. And the people of God were crushed and lost their apparent autonomy. That when does the time of the Gentiles end? Well, Rome came in 146 BC. But Rome is more than one nation. It's wickedness that describes the whole era until Christ comes. Remember, the iron bottom of the statue in two divides into two, Roman East, Roman West, and then the toes. And so we're in the toes, somewhere in the toes. And the stone cut from heaven will crush it. Time will be no more. The time of the Gentiles will end when this great week of judgment comes and God will open the heart of his people. Right? Just as he says. So far, so good. So I think I would say that there is no promise of God that will ever be left unfulfilled. There is none. Otherwise, he is not holy, righteous, and good. He's a liar. Right? But if you want assurance that God is truthful, look into the face of Jesus. When you have seen me, you have seen God. Right? That makes sense?
Brother John, how do you explain the command to conceal the book until the ends of time?
Oh,
but we
I
do
think
have
for,
the book with us. So,
for, I that... think, yeah, I think for Daniel, what he's saying is, go take a rest. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Trust me, right? Trust me, right? When you seal a book in the ancient times, it was a book that concluded never to be opened. It was sealed. So I think what he's telling Daniel at the end is, Daniel, I've told you all I can tell you. Seal it up. You will understand at the end of time. Right? Does that make sense? Now, if you read John and Matthew and, gosh, another book, Peter, you will know a little more than Daniel knew. Right? So there's what we call progressive revelation, which is a progressive unshadowing of shadows. But there's still shadows. Does that make sense? It's just beautiful to me. So I think as a word to Daniel. Daniel, I've told you all I can. The kingdom will come. The people of God will be regathered, but not on your time scale. Right? What looks to be valid may be invalid and yet true. So far, so good. It's beautiful to me. Does that make sense? So I think Daniel is a book of hope. That's all it is. It's a wonderful condescension to a wonderful man to tell him the ancient people will be regathered just as we will be. They are a shadow. We are a brighter fulfillment of that shadow, but there's only one shadow. We will be with the one people of God forever. Does that make sense?
Dr. Hannah?
Yes, sir. Oh, I see you.
Good morning. Daniel 12, verse 2.
Yeah.
Who are those in verse 2?
Who are the what?
Daniel chapter 12,
oh, those?
Verse 2. It says, many of those. Who are those?
Okay, I'll find it. The initial answer is beats me. Okay. Is Michael talking? The great prince who watches over your people will arise. Verse 1. There will be a time of distress unlike any other from the beginning of nations up to that time. So at the end of times. But at that time, your own people, who are the own people? The people of God, all those whose names are found written in the book. What book? Book of life, Revelation. Will escape. You and I will escape. It goes beyond time, beyond the time frame. At the end of time, there'll be distress. But we've had that since the beginning of Genesis 3. That, but in comparison to what's coming, it's only a shadow of judgment. And at that time, your own people, who are your own people? They're believing Jewish people, But they're more than that. They're the people of God. Ancient Israel is the shadowed people of God. Heaven is not made up of two classes of people, Jew and Gentile. Clearly, Ephesians tells us that they will be merged together as one people of God. So the foundation of our faith is the shadows that God made to a wandering Aramean called Abraham. The fulfillment of it is the promises Jesus gave us. Does that make sense? This Bible can be understood by a child. That's what's amazing. And what a child understands is the essence of it. We who have called ourselves somewhat learned find it mystifying because of our intellect cannot grasp it, which means a child has more faith than we do. Isn't that pretty? It isn't the amount of faith that saves. It's the fact of the one who grants faith that saves. That's what's pretty. We love him. We really do. We're just simple people. You can decorate your life with all kinds of initials, but it doesn't matter. That's just calling. You do what you have to do. We just love him. And I always say that the ground under the cross is flat. It knows no distinctions. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. And heaven is a classless society. The person that fulfilled the most minimal task for God that goes unrecognized, and a Billy Graham, we saw a statue in the Capitol last week, are equal before God forever because the blood of Christ makes us equal. Right? There are no greater saints. There are just saints. That's all. And God has a little path different for each of us. That the question is, are we following the path he has for us? That's all. So far, so good. Well, we'll pray. Lord, thanks for a moment together. Thank you for your care for us this week and the terrible storms that came. Reminding us again that you control all the affairs of men. Thank you for the book of Daniel that assures us that the times of the Gentiles will come to an end and we will enter your presence forever. As we now turn to Proverbs, the wisdom literature, we ask your blessing too. We just love you, our Father, and walk along in simple faith, trusting. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.